Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Bienvenue. Welcome to this convocation this morning. We hope to start on time, as always. And I'd like to thank Brian Sand and his group who've been playing so wonderfully this morning for you. Maybe the first order of business is to remind you that these kinds of things may happen. Told you never to call me at work. Anyway, point being, of course, that there will be a bit of disruption should that take place. This morning we will have the convocation for arts, education, music, religious studies, and science, both undergraduate and graduate degrees. My name is David Harp. I'm the University Marshal. And this is a special ceremony this morning from the point of view that for the first time in 10 years, we will be installing a new chancellor. This installation is not quite a coronation, so it won't take all morning. It will take maybe an extra few minutes. But Arnold Steinberg is our new chancellor. There will be words from him as well as words about him and as he takes over his new role. Richard Pound will receive an honorary degree this afternoon, and you will not be able to hear his many witticisms this morning, but he's obviously well known for that and served admirably as chancellor for 10 years. This ceremony this morning will also bring a number of representatives from a whole variety of universities from coast to coast, the U.S. and Canada. Fortunately, not everybody came, or we wouldn't have room on the stage for all of those universities, but there's about 30 or so representatives, including one from that small university in Cambridge, Mass., the McGill of the United States, and there will be a representative from there as well. There will be, after the ceremony begins, and that will begin, the ceremony will start from the group coming down from your back left, down in front, up the stage, and around this side, and take their places on the platform. The university piper, Jeff McCarthy, will lead this group, and I'm waiting to get a signal that they are, in fact, aligned, but that should take place in the next very few minutes. Well, I hope in less than even a few minutes, lest you have to listen to this for any more length of time. We could have some snappy patter and carry on, but I think hopefully they'll all start roughly on time. There will be, after the ceremony begins, some teaching awards that will be, and some of the awardees are here, and they will be on stage and take their places in a variety of patterns. There will be an honorary degree and an honorary degree speech, which hopefully will last just a few minutes. Those are sometimes in years past, they've gone on for 20 and 30 minutes. This is supposed to be about 6 or 7 or 8 minutes, so don't despair. After that, there will be, of course, the graduating group will come up on the stage. Be sure when you have your cards that you split your card, give one to the reader so they can pronounce your name appropriately, and then one over here on the right-hand side when you receive your degrees. There will be a bit of a different arrangement this year due to the health situation. There will be a minimum, if any, handshaking on the stage. Those of you who are receiving your first degrees will be tapped on the head very lightly. That will be explained by the provost, Anthony Massey. And those of you getting a graduate degree where normally a handshake would be entertained, there would be a light tap of the standard diploma holder on your shoulder. Neither of these will hurt, and that will work out very well. I thought since McGill has all of the best and proper instructional technology equipment, we do have a face recognition arrangement with these very small cameras. And now we know who all of you are. And if you haven't passed all of your exams, we know where you live. Winston Purdy will sing the alma mater as the ceremony is to begin. And after that, the whole procedure will take place. The entire package will end with the singing of O Canada. And at about this time, we should be able to see our group coming. I don't see them coming, but it shouldn't be long. It's rather difficult when there's about 90 people on stage to get all of them in the right place at the right time. And when they're mostly senior people, I don't mean super senior at all. I just mean older than many of the audience. It's like herding cats and not always easy to get them in exact formulation. I might ask of you, how many of you actually took a World of Chemistry course? I'd just be interested. Ah, well, let me see those hands again. Those of you who did that will not have to take the exam as you exit. You will be passed straight through on that regard. I think we're getting close here. I'm looking for a kind of signal, and we can ask the University Piper to commence his piping. And I would ask that you all please stand up, levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, for the platform party.
Bonjour et bienvenue tout le monde. C'est vraiment un jour spécial dans la vie de McGill. I'm delighted to welcome each and every one of you here today to this very special fall convocation. It gives me special pleasure as Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill University to recognize the Honorable Mr. Justice Maurice Fish, Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada, Madame Michelle Corchain, Ministre de l'Éducation, de Loisirs et du Sport du Québec, Chancellor Emerita, Madame Greta Chambers, Chancellor Emeritus, Maître Richard Pound, Chancellor Arnold Steinberg, Chair of the McGill Board of Governors, Dr. Robert Rabinovich, our special delegates representing our sister universities and hospitals in Quebec, across Canada and the United States, all members of the Platform Party, our distinguished honoree, Mrs. Eleanor Wachtel, our special teaching award winners, Ms. Carolyn Samuel, Professor Kathleen Fallon, Professor Peter Gibeon, Professor Bruce Shore, members of our Board of Governors and Governors Emeriti, members of the McGill Senate, distinguished colleagues, friends, and most especially graduating class of 2009. All convocations are memorable, but this morning's is especially so, as we are participating in a ceremony of particular significance for McGill and for the McGill community. Before awarding degrees and celebrating the winners of this year's Principal's Teaching Awards, we will install Mr. H. Arnold Steinberg as the 18th Chancellor of McGill University. The Chancellor of McGill is the titular head of the university and lead custodian of McGill University traditions. An ex officio member of both the Board of Governors and of Senate, our two governing bodies, he presides over convocation and joint meetings of the Board and Senate. The Chancellor chairs the Honorary Degrees Committee of Senate and is a participant, along with the Chair of the Board of Governors and the Principal, in our annual meetings with our Governors Emeriti. In recognition of the special nature of this day, our outgoing Chancellor, Richard Pound, now Chancellor Emeritus, is present in the Platform Party and participating in the installation ceremony. His presence is a symbol of continuity, as is that of our Chancellor Emerita Greta Chambers. Representatives of the Government of Quebec and of our sister universities and affiliated hospitals have joined us on the platform in order to bear witness to the installation of McGill's 18th Chancellor. Je vous remercie tous d'être parmi nous pour célébrer notre nouveau chancelier. Nous sommes très chanceux que Monsieur Arnold Steinberg ait accepté d'agir comme chancelier de McGill. A graduate of McGill University and of the Harvard Business School, Arnold Steinberg is a volunteer in public service, and he is a distinguished businessman, having pursued a career in his family's business and in the financial services sector. He is also a man of arts and culture. Throughout his adult life, Arnold Steinberg has been active in volunteerism, serving on the Board of Governors of McGill University and as Governor Emeritus, as founding chair of the board of the McGill University Health Center and of the organization Canadians for Health Research, as chair of the board of the McGill University Montreal Children's Hospital Research Institute for 19 years, and as co-chair early in his career of a capital campaign for the Montreal Children's Hospital. In the private sector, he has served on the boards of Bell Canada International, Provigo, the Banque Nationale, and Teleglobe. Arnold Steinberg brings to the chancellorship of McGill extensive experience in the governance of public sector organizations involved in innovation in Quebec and Canada broadly, particularly but not only in the area of health research. He is a member of the Canada Council, chair of Canada Health InfoWay. He served as member of the council and vice chair currently of the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, our national health sciences and related medical research council. He's director of the Canada Patient Safety Institute and a member of selection committees for Canada's premier graduate scholarships. Chancellor Steinberg represents a multi-generational McGill family, and we are just delighted to welcome here today so many members of his family and his friends, and it is with particular pride that we recognize his wife, Dr. Blima Steinberg, a distinguished professor emerita in our Department of Political Science, along with his two daughters, his son, and his five grandchildren. In addition to Arnold Steinberg's dedication to McGill, he is a passionate advocate overall for science, education, the arts, and Quebec and Canada's places in the world. He's a builder of bridges within and between communities. I know that all of us at McGill will continue to benefit greatly now from Chancellor Steinberg's broad cross-sectoral experience and his fine personal qualities, his deep intelligence, his outstanding judgment, his integrity, his generosity, his grace, and his good common sense. It gives me immense pride, therefore, and pleasure to call upon Dr. Robert Rabinovich, Chair of the Board of Governors, to install Mr. H. Arnold Steinberg as 18th Chancellor of McGill University.
By virtue of my office as President of the Royal Institution for the Advancement of Learning and Chair of the Board of Governors of McGill University, I declare that the governors have, in accordance with the statutes of the university, nominated and appointed Dr. Arnold Steinberg to be the Chancellor of McGill University. I therefore invite Dr. Steinberg to come forward to take the oath of office and be installed in the chancellorship. Arnold Steinberg, the governors of the university have nominated and appointed you to the high office of chancellor. Do you promise to fulfill the duties and obligations of the chancellorship in accordance with the charter and statutes of this university and in all ways properly open to you to promote the interests of the Royal Institution for the Advancement of Learning and the welfare of McGill University?
I do.
Then by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Royal Institution for the Advancement of Learning, I install you in your office as the 18th Chancellor of McGill University.
Thank you.
Je voudrais maintenant inviter Madame Michelle Corchin, ministre de l'Éducation, du Loisir et du Sport, de prendre la parole.
I invite Madame Michelle Corchin, the Minister of Education, Loisir and Sport, to deliver greetings on behalf of the Government of Quebec.
Mr. Chancellor, Mrs. Principal, Mr. President of the Board, all distinguished guests, I am so honored and pleased to join with the members of the Board of Governors of McGill University and the entire university community to celebrate the installation of Mr. Steinberg as Chancellor. Like you, I have a great and sincere admiration for Mr. Steinberg, who has had an exceptional career. And like you, I hail the Board of Governors' wise decision to make him the new Chancellor of one of the world's most renowned universities. A leader in the business community and a passionate advocate of medical research, who has long been deeply involved with McGill University. Mr. Steinberg represents the image of excellence for which his alma mater is known worldwide. I'm delighted to see such a highly respected person to take the helm of McGill, which is known for its determination to raise the standards of university teaching and research. Mr. Steinberg has occupied key positions in organizations devoted to medical research and has played a key role in the advancement of medical knowledge and healthcare. Through his commitment to the community, he has contributed to the well-being of Montrealers and the development of Quebec's society. Mr. Steinberg can be proud of his achievements, which have profoundly changed the face of Quebec. The McGill University Health Center, of which he is the founding chair, is a demonstration of university medicine that attracts many from around the world. McGill University is a leader in the field of healthcare in particular, but not only. Brilliant discoveries made at McGill have revolutionized the files of science. We are proud of McGill's unrelenting pursuit of excellence, and I'm convinced that your contribution as Chancellor will allow McGill to continue to prosper. Monsieur Steinberg, votre sagesse, votre expérience, votre sens de l'humanité, votre implication ici à Montréal, au Québec et au Canada sauront guider dorénavant l'Université McGill dans son développement, dans la poursuite de son excellence, et je suis convaincue que vous saurez aussi guider ces nombreux étudiants et étudiantes qui voudront très certainement suivre votre exemple de générosité pour vos concitoyens. I would like now to have a few words for all of you students and for your professors who guided you these last years through your success. From now on and all your life long, you will carry in your soul, in your heart, the proudness of being graduated from McGill. It's not only a matter of being proud, but there's also a responsibility that comes with it, a responsibility that I ask you to continue to make sure that this university in Montreal, in Quebec, will remain one of the best. And it's each of you in your career, in your involvement, that will make that possible. So, to all of you, it's a great, great day, a very important day, but it means that we will all continue to work together and continue to build a very modern Quebec society, and we'll be continuing to work for all the future generation. Thank you so much.
Mr. Chancellor, I invite you to address the members of the graduating classes, their families, and all those assembled here today. Then I ask you to preside over the convocations of McGill University.
Good morning, everyone. Bonjour à tous. Before I give my formal address and initiate the convocation ceremony, I want to express to the members of McGill's senior governing bodies, that is the Board of Governors and the Senate, my overwhelming sense of sheer joy. I cannot say it any other way. To be named as only the 18th chancellor in the almost 200-year history of this great institution is an honor that I could not even have remotely dreamed of only a few months ago. For virtually all of my adult life, and that of my wife, Professor Blima Steinberg, McGill has been our anchor. Few couples anywhere could have been as privileged as we. We started as students here and never really left over the past 60 years. So I say to all of you, thank you, merci, merci. So now it is your turn. C'est votre tour. On behalf of McGill University's Board of Governors, the Senate, its faculty members and staff, I want to extend to the graduating students assembled here and to their families and friends our greetings and very best wishes. And while this is indeed a momentous event, you will soon learn that this is but another step in a long road of discovery and wonder. Il y a beaucoup de choses dans la vie qu'on ne peut pas contrôler, mais ayant choisi l'une des meilleures institutions de hautes études au monde, vous allez découvrir que vous êtes mieux préparé à relever les défis et à vous adapter aux occasions qui vont certainement se présenter. Whether you live in Canada or come from abroad, you have no doubt become increasingly aware of the cultural diversity that exists on our campuses as it does throughout this province and this country. Canadians have good reason to be proud of the openness we extend to all our citizens, regardless of ethnicity, color, and religion. As you know, in many parts of the world, such openness is not so well tolerated or not accepted at all. I hope and pray that you will use your experience here at McGill to address the issue of openness and tolerance throughout your life. There is little hope for peace and prosperity in the world without acceptance of all of our differences. Now, tradition has that, and far be it from me as the new chancellor to ignore almost 200 years of tradition, to give some words of advice to the graduates in addition to presiding over this commencement ceremony. When I was a student on campus, many years ago, voluntary social involvement was virtually unknown. However, many of you graduating today have put in considerable time during your school years working in a wide variety of community activities. Just a few examples. Some of you have put in long hours in the container garden on our downtown campus, distributing the organic harvest of vegetables to needy members of our community. Hundreds of other McGill student volunteers contributed tens of thousands of hours this year, distributing meals daily to the elderly and other homebound individuals. Graduate students have been taking part in McGill's Let's Talk Science partnership program, teaching science, engineering, and technology to students from kindergarten to grade 12. The list is so long and varied, and a tribute to all of you who have participated in these and many similar activities. Je sais qu'il y en a parmi vous qui, après l'obtention de votre diplôme, vont continuer à s'attaquer aux besoins criants des moins fortunés ici dans notre société et ailleurs au monde. Par exemple, plus que la moitié des employés de Centre Paul Roulant sont diplômés de McGill, la directrice générale incluse. Sachez que je vous admire profondément. Understandably, most of you will now seek jobs after you complete your further education in those cases where you choose. My message to you is very simple, and one which I can assure you will bring you and so many others a better and more meaningful quality of life. If you have experienced the joy of voluntary service, keep at it. Don't stop now because you're no longer a university student. To all of you, look for ways you can support others in your community. This can be as simple as helping out in your children's after-school programs, volunteering a few hours a week in hospitals or facilities to the elderly, becoming involved in cultural activities in your communities, such as museums, music and theater groups, or coaching a local children's hockey team. My basic message is very clear. Bringing a better quality of life to others through community voluntary service will bring joy to your lives. What you will also discover is that this is a real learning experience, unlike anything else you can obtain either at school or at work. Thank you. I now invite the principal and vice chancellor to address you as part of your convocation ceremony.
Graduating class, today is a very special day for you and a proud and happy day for McGill, an occasion to celebrate you, the class of 2009, and your families and friends, a chance to share in your happiness. For all of you who are graduating today, you have worked very hard, without question. But as tough as it may be from time to time to be a McGill student, it is sometimes even tougher to be the family member or closest friend of a McGill student. So for those of you who are graduating here today, please join with me in expressing your appreciation to your families and your closest friends. Many of you may be thinking today about where life will take you next and the choices you will make. Nous vivons, comme le chancelier a dit, dans un monde où des membres d'une même famille, des amis et des collègues, peuvent aussi bien vivre dans des pays lointains que dans la même ville, où il est fort probable que votre réussite émane de partenariats avec des gens dont l'origine et l'expérience diffère largement de vôtre. The world you go out into as new graduates has been marked by an extraordinary year at the global level, one that has animated our commitment to grappling with the challenges that we all now face. We are called upon to realize quickly a more sustainable relationship with our physical environment, and to do so while simultaneously dealing with uncertainty in the economy and in other domains of civil and global society, often looking at redesigning the way we interact with financial and social systems, with technology, all aimed at lessening the gaps between those who have and those who have not. These are challenges indeed, but I'm confident that you will face these challenges successfully. As we face the challenges of our world, we are all dependent on knowledge, on intelligent and continuously assessed values and practices, and most significantly on strong institutions and dedicated and creative individuals, leaders, professionals, and citizens, people just like you. As developing leaders, class of 2009, you are building those strong technological and scientific literacies, multilingual fluency, and an understanding of the cultures of the world. You are cultivating an open mind and, perhaps most important, your own appetite for managing complexity. At McGill, we know you have made lasting friendships, sought knowledge and learned from the best and brightest students and professors. You have experienced an environment where the pursuit of knowledge is the ultimate goal, where the exchange of ideas, particularly provocative and controversial ideas, is encouraged, where we respect fundamentally our academic freedoms. And along with our wonderful freedoms and our great good fortune comes a very special responsibility to recognize that the privileges that we enjoy of living and studying and working in a peaceful democracy and a prosperous civil society position us to meet social, environmental, and financial challenges that will affect many others much more seriously than they do us. Class of 2009, we are very proud that today you are joining the more than 200,000 distinguished people around the world who make up McGill's Living Alumni, a roster that includes our newly installed Chancellor, Arnold Steinberg, our Chancellors Emeriti, Richard Pound and Greta Chambers, our Chairman, Robert Rabinovich, and our special honoree, Eleanor Wachtel, who will shortly receive her second McGill degree. And graduating class, as you leave here today, building on the inspiring words of our Chancellor, we know that you will do much to contribute to society. I ask you to undertake to stay in touch with your alma mater, as our minister, Madame Courchain, has said, and as you undertake to stay in touch with your alma mater, you may be sure that we will stay in touch with you. In closing, remember that you will carry the good name of McGill everywhere you go. Please represent us well, and as you do, three pieces of simple but compelling advice derived from an ancient scholar. Take care of yourself. If you are not for yourself, who will be? Strive to make the world a better place. If you are only for yourself, you will have failed. Don't be afraid to act, to give something back to your community, your profession, your country, and your world. We are confident that you will continue to make McGill and your families proud through your personal and professional activities and in the choices you make in life. But for today, this is your special day. Félicitations. Savor every moment. Congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, I invite Provost Anthony Massey to present this year's winners of the Principal's Prize for Excellence in Teaching. Professor Massey.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. As Provost of McGill University, one of my responsibilities is to ensure the quality of the academic programs we have at this great institution. So it is a great honor and a particular privilege for me this morning to present this year's winners of the Principal's Prize for Excellence in Teaching. All of McGill's faculties recognize with awards teaching excellence at their level. But in addition to this, the university established the Principal's Prizes for Excellence in Teaching to further recognize the excellence and commitment to pedagogy and instruction and to celebrate those who, in exceptional ways, demonstrate the qualities of superior performance in teaching. The winners we honor today truly embody the best characteristics of teachers, mentors, advisors, and supervisors. I ask that each winner step forward when I call your name. Carolyn Samuel. Carolyn Samuel is an expert on phonetics and computerized language teaching. Since joining McGill in 2002 as a lecturer in English as a Second Language in the Faculty of Arts, she has become a major innovator in language instruction and is rapidly developing an international reputation in her field. Among her achievements, she has created four new courses, including one to integrate first-year Francophone students into the McGill environment, as well as courses on academic writing, communication, and teaching, the teaching of pronunciation to English as second language students. Carolyn Samuel runs a highly successful workshop on pronunciation pegs that is attended by professionals nationwide. Her reputation is such that she is regularly interviewed on questions of language on the CBC's international service. The final word, though, should come from one of her students who wrote, that, quote, she was at all times well prepared and organized, open to and respectful of our points of view. She was a model of an expert teacher for a class of novices hoping to become teachers. Madam Principal, I present to you Carolyn Samuel, this year's winner for the Principal's Prize in Excellence in Teaching in the category of Faculty Lecturer. Kathleen Fallon. Earlier this year, the Faculty of Arts awarded Kathleen Fallon its prestigious H. Noel Fieldhouse Award for Distinguished Teaching. That she is receiving the Principal's Prize for Excellence in Teaching is further evidence of her excellence and talent as a pedagogue and teacher at McGill. Since joining the Department of Sociology in 2002, Kathleen Fallon has exemplified a new generation of excellence in teaching at McGill University. A specialist on sex and gender issues, she excels in teaching these potentially controversial topics. Her students, in their evaluations, consistently praise her teaching expertise and her mentoring skills. One student described her as, quote, a wonderful professor who encourages discussion. Another said that she had transformed the way in which students viewed the world. Finally, another student stated, Professor Fallon, more than any other professor at McGill University, taught me, rather, she empowered me to learn for myself one of the most valuable lessons of life, that no matter how hard life comes at you, never doubt yourself. Outside the classroom, Kathleen Fallon has been an active force in fostering arts internships programs by setting up two programs in Ghana. These have been so successful that she's currently in the process of setting up more. Her belief is that the best way to understand situations in developing countries is to be exposed directly to them. Madam Principal, for her unwavering dedication to her students, I present to you Kathleen Fallon, this year's winner of the Principal's Prize for Excellence in Teaching at the level of assistant professor. Peter Gibeon. Since joining McGill University in 1989 in the Faculty of Arts Department of English as a specialist in American literature, Peter Gibeon's classes have become so well received that they reach capacity each and every semester. His classes are exciting, demanding, intellectually stimulating, challenging, and surprising as it might be for some of our students in the audience, entertaining. Also a winner of the prestigious H. Noel Fieldhouse Award for Distinguished Teaching, he has also won the Louis Dudek Award for Excellence in Teaching and the Teaching Award for the North American Students Association. Peter Gibeon is admired by current and former students who praise his mastery of the material, his careful preparation, the clarity and originality of his thoughts, and the enthusiasm, charm, and playfulness which are the hallmarks of his lectures. To quote one of his students, the intellectual bravery and humility he exhibited in pursuit of further questions was an attitude I admired and became so determined to adopt. I felt so empowered by my engagement with literature that I decided to pursue it for the rest of my life. He is truly a special professor. Madam Principal, I present to you a truly inspirational teacher, Peter Gibeon, this year's winner for the Principal's Award at the associate professor level. Bruce Shore. Today's award serves to underscore what those of us who know him well have always come to admire. Bruce Shore is a great teacher. Earlier this year, Bruce Shore was the recipient of not one, but two teaching awards, the David Thompson Award for Graduate Supervision and Teaching and the Faculty of Education's Excellence in Teaching Award. For the past 39 years, McGill University has been fortunate to count on him as a valued member of the community, not only in the Department of Educational and Counseling Psychology and the Faculty of Education, but university-wide. He has been a teacher who has mentored thousands of undergraduate students, and he has supervised 83 graduate students. He is described by his students as a cheerleader and an advocate, someone with relentless enthusiasm who is warm and engaging while also being rigorous and meticulous. In his own words, Bruce Shore maintains that his primary role as teacher is to promote understanding and not to present materials. Bruce Shore has also served McGill well in administrative roles, such as departmental chair and dean of students. During numerous convocation ceremonies, he has read the names of thousands of students crossing the stage with charm and grace, as he will do again later this morning. Madam Principal, it is a great pleasure I present to you Bruce Shore, a teacher scholar of the highest caliber in the full professor level.
I now invite the Principal and Vice Chancellor to present Ms. Eleanor Wachtel, that she may have conferred upon her the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant.
Eleanor Wachtel. It is our great privilege today to honor Eleanor Wachtel, one of Canada's most inspiring cultural leaders, a celebrated arts journalist and broadcaster, author, editor, and former professor, whose lively, insightful, and erudite conversations on the immensely popular CBC radio program Writers and Company have delighted audiences for almost 20 years. Born and raised in Montreal, Eleanor Wachtel studied English literature at McGill, graduating with first-class honors. While at McGill, she served on the executive of the Undergraduate Literacy Society and was the book's page editor of the McGill Daily. In fact, it was at McGill in 1966 that she gave her first interview to then-fledgling novelist and poet Margaret Atwood. Ms. Wachtel went on to obtain a master's degree in journalism from Syracuse University and later taught as an adjunct professor of women's studies at Simon Fraser University. In 1979, she began working for CBC Radio as a theater and film critic in Vancouver, and in 1987, she relocated to Toronto to become a CBC literary commentator and arts reporter. Writers and Company, which Ms. Wachtel has hosted since its inception in 1990, won the CBC Award for Programming Excellence in 1995 and 2003. Ms. Wachtel also hosted the Arts Tonight program for 11 years and now hosts Wachtel on the Arts, a monthly feature that offers an in-depth look at ideas in the arts. Renowned for her intelligence, her warm and engaging interview style, and her infectious laughter, Eleanor Wachtel has interviewed many of the greatest authors and thinkers of our time. With her wide-ranging knowledge of literature, history, and world affairs, she has elevated the literary interview to an art form. Indeed, her thoughtful questioning has drawn out even the most famously reticent of writers. She has moved literary critic Harold Bloom to tears and prompted novelist Kazuo Ishiguro, author of the Booker Prize-winning novel Remains of the Day, to call her, quotes, one of the very finest interviewers of authors I've come across anywhere in the world. In the Canadian and indeed international arts communities, Ms. Wachtel is a highly coveted public speaker, giving lectures and interviews to overflow crowds at literary festivals such as Harbourfront in Toronto and the Blue Metropolis Literary Festival in Montreal. In 2008, she returned to her alma mater to deliver a fascinating lecture on the lives of writers as part of the Hugh MacLennan Memorial Lecture Series. Her interviews have appeared in four published volumes, and she is co-editor of two books, The Expo Story and Language in Her Eye, co-author of A Feminist Guide to the Canadian Constitution, and she has contributed to numerous other best-selling publications. In recognition of her many outstanding contributions to Canadian arts, Ms. Wachtel was named a member of the Order of Canada in 2004. She has been granted numerous honorary doctorates and has received the Jack Award, named for publisher Jack McClelland, in honor of her significant role in promoting Canadian books and authors. Along with her partner, Sherry Simon, we are delighted today to celebrate this daughter of McGill, an inspiring cultural leader, an individual whose extraordinary broadcasting career has touched the lives of readers, writers, and listeners across the country and around the globe. It is with immense pleasure that I now call upon our Chancellor to confer upon Eleanor Wachtel the University's highest honor, the degree of Doctor of Letters, honoris causa.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to invite Dr. Wachtel to give the convocation address. Dr. Wachtel.
Chancellor Steinberg, Principal Monroe Bloom, distinguished guests, faculty, parents, and especially graduates. First, may I express my heartfelt thanks to McGill University and the Alumni Association for this high honor. The American writer Russell Banks, blue collar, New England, he wrote Affliction and The Sweet Hereafter. When he got an honorary doctorate, he was all excited and he telephoned his mother, and after he explained to her what it was and what it meant, she said, "Just like you, to get it the easy way." Well, you've all gotten it the hard way. And it's a particular pleasure for me to be here because McGill is my own alma mater, or nourishing mother, who launches us, prepares us for the future. Of course, the future is unknown, precarious. It's a scary proposition, particularly nowadays. To quote Woody Allen's speech to the graduates, more than at any other time in our history, we are at a crossroads. One path leads to despair and utter hopelessness. The other, to total extinction. Let us pray we have the wisdom to choose correctly. He went on to say, this isn't pessimism, it's merely healthy concern for the predicament of any modern person. And modern he defined as anyone born after Nietzsche's edict that God is dead and before the Beatles song, I Want to Hold Your Hand. I don't think we should feel pessimistic, but it's true that it's become harder not to be. Optimism is a form of moral courage, said the early 20th century Antarctic explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton, and he would know. He's famous not for getting to the South Pole or crossing the continent as he had set out to do, but for keeping all his men alive under impossible conditions after their ship was crushed by pack ice and sank. He's now actually been taken up as a role model in leadership by management consultants. But here we are, fortunate enough to live in a time in a particular part of the world that has been spared the horrors that we know about elsewhere. I was speaking to the novelist Kazuo Ishiguro, who said those very kind words, but this was before that, and he's probably best known for Remains of the Day and was made into a movie with Emma Thompson and Anthony Hopkins. Ishiguro was born in Nagasaki, Japan, in 1954. When he was five, his family moved to England, where he's lived ever since. He was saying to me how lucky he feels to live in a democratic, prosperous West, and how, statistically, it's very unlikely that you would be born into these circumstances where you weren't somehow touched by war or famine or something awful. And he talked about how this little enclave of Western Europe, North America, Japan, Australia, and so on, reminds him a lot of that Buster Keaton character in the movie Steamboat Bill Jr. It's a silent movie, and there's a famous sequence where there's a storm, a hurricane, and everything is falling down in this town. And there's a moment when Buster Keaton is standing in front of a huge barn, and the side of the barn falls down on top of him. But he's standing exactly where the window, the open window, is. And it collapses all around him. And he's just standing there deadpan, and he doesn't realize what a narrow escape he's just had. And that's what makes it so funny. He just looks around him as if nothing's happened. Ishiguro says he often thinks that we are like that too. Or to go back in history just a fraction, Ishiguro asks himself if he'd been born one generation earlier, what would have happened to him? What kind of principles would he have had? What kinds of atrocities would he have perpetrated or been a victim of? You can see how close it is, and yet we behave like that Buster Keaton character, as if this is normal, when it's a complete fluke that we can carry on like this in this little enclave. And in this sense, most of us here are incredibly lucky, and it's easier for us to be enriched by life, to get a lot of positive things out of life. But there have been many moments in history where it's been very difficult for an ordinary person not to be crushed or ruined or devastated by the world they've been born into. I've asked myself some of these questions. For instance, I am one generation removed from the European Holocaust, born after the war in Canada, into the extraordinarily privileged window that we inhabit here. Of course, knowing all that doesn't necessarily make it easier to figure out how to live, to make a living, or a contribution. My own life has a lot more coherence looking back than it was to live forward. Hearing that I graduated in English, that I was on the books page of the McGill Daily, or that I interviewed Margaret Atwood when her first book of poetry was published, makes it all seem like I followed a plan. Not at all. I used to torment myself with my uncertainty, my anguish about what I was going to be when I grew up. I seemed to only know what I didn't want to do, and radio wasn't at all obvious. I hadn't grown up with radio. I discovered CBC, I think it was Barbara Frum's As It Happens. When I was at university, I was in a car and I heard it on the radio. But then I left Canada for a while. And when I moved to Vancouver in the mid-70s, I still wasn't sure what to do. I thought I might try writing for magazines. But there weren't any jobs, only freelancing. And then I heard about a job at the CBC Morning Show as a radio producer, and it turned out it was already filled. But I could freelance for the program. Well, I had to do something that the regular host couldn't do, something a little unusual. Quirky was probably the word. So I brought in a list of ideas, and the producer ticked off half a dozen, and I went out with a home portable tape recorder, and I tried to interview a Mexican mime who was performing at the art gallery. when he did speak, he didn't speak English. And then I went to talk to a sociologist at UBC who was studying sign language in sawmills. Because of the excessive noise, the workers had developed a sophisticated system of communication with one another, even telling jokes in sign language. Now, clearly I had not grasped the medium of radio. My third attempt succeeded. It was an interview with a pianist who had accompanied her violinist husband all her life, and then at the age of 72, she was making a solo debut. And she was gracious and charming and articulate. This was just the beginning. Many of you are already way ahead of me. But perhaps one thing it might be useful for you to be reminded of is not to be afraid of failure. I never imagined I would end up becoming a professional interviewer, and for the first 10 or 12 years, I worked as a writer for magazines, a reporter and critic for radio, an adjunct professor, an editor, often all at once. I was open to whatever came along, and I do think that openness is the key. When I put together a book about original minds based on a series of interviews I did with people who've made a difference in their life and their work, it made me think about what it means to be original. And two things in particular kept coming up: curiosity and risk. Curiosity is an appetite for the world and for the present moment, especially noticing the normally overlooked, the apparently unimportant, the undervalued, the negligible. I was struck by how often this came up from people who are otherwise so completely different. So, curiosity, persistence, hard work, compassion, courage, taking advantage of every opportunity, all good advice, but not things that you don't already know. And perhaps I repeat them now as much for myself, because these are lifelong goals. I was interviewing Al Gore just a couple of days ago, and beforehand I told him I would be speaking to you, and I asked what he felt it was important for you to know. I mean, after all, his former boss, Bill Clinton, had been here just a month ago. He said that in 1961, JFK declared he wanted to put a man on the moon and bring him back safely within 10 years. It took 8 years and 2 months, and the average age of the people in mission control cheering that moon landing was 26, which means they were 18 when they heard JFK's challenge. Your generation is poised to change the world. You're being launched by one of the best universities in North America. You could make anything happen. And given the way things are today, we really need you. I am honored to be among you, and I wish you every success.
Dr. Wachtel, what a wonderful address. How does one speak after that? But I met Dr. Wachtel in person last evening for the first time. However, I must confess a secret, and my wife is here, that she has been my companion for many years. And the richness to my life that she has added is really immeasurable. One of the most recent interviews I heard on her program was an interview with Philip Roth. And I don't know, we didn't talk about it last evening, but I don't think it was an easy interview. I don't think he's an easy person to interview. And what she brought out of that interview with, as I say, with a world-renowned, many people think he could be next Nobel Prize winner in literature, but what she was able to bring out in that interview was surely, surely remarkable. And I certainly agree with those who said that she's one of the greatest interviewers, certainly in the literary world. So, Dr. Wachtel, we have honored you today, but you have truly honored us by your presence. And we thank you for coming here, and we thank you for that wonderful address. Thank you. We will now proceed with the conferring of the academic degrees, and I call upon the Provost, Professor Anthony Massey, to commence the formal proceedings. Professor Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. McGill's fall convocations are university-wide ceremonies where graduates from many faculties come together as one. This morning, I am pleased to invite students graduating from the faculties of arts, education, music, religious studies, and science to come forward for the conferral of their degrees. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the chancellor, the principal, or the chair of the Board of Governors. Let me advise the audience of what to expect. Students receiving their first degrees will remove their mortarboard or hat, and they will be symbolically capped, signaling ceremonial conferral of their degrees. Students who have already earned a degree will keep their mortarboard on and will be congratulated by a tap on the shoulder. The parchment or degree itself will be given to the students as they leave the stage. Let me give notice to our students. Capping and tapping are usually done lightly. We begin with our graduate students, followed by undergraduate students from each faculty. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de l'Université, je déclare que les candidats dont le nom figure sur la liste des diplômés de l'Université, qu'ils soient présents ou absents, ont satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by the University Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on McGill's list of graduates, whether they be absent or present, have satisfied the requirements for their respective degrees, diplomas, or certificates. I now invite Professor Bruce Shore to present the graduates and for the deans of the faculties or their delegates to distribute the diplomas.
For the Faculty of Law for the degrees of Bachelor of Civil Law and Bachelor of Laws, Josef Nussbaum with distinction. Faculty of Arts for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, Tanya Solveig Shammy. Saranjan Uditha Vararatne. For the degree of Master of Arts, Christopher Ames. Efe Atabe. Shurav Barwa. Vicky Bopre Ororico. Ebony Rose Bertorelli. John Andrew Eamon Brammer. Anil Singh Brar. Eleanor Harriet Brickell. Morgan Julia Charles, Dean's Honor List. Cynthia Cluche Mattinger, Dean's Honors List. Alicia Dattuwala. Benjamin Ferland. Kathleen Gemmel. Jillian Helen Gregory. Randy Hahn. Erin Kayla Wilson Hodges. Tanya Marie Jenkins, the Joseph and Sandra Rotman Prize for Student Excellence in Public Policy Innovation and Dean's Honor List. Andrew Christian Kloiber. Brittany Elizabeth Lambert. Louise Marie Larley. Peiyun Ma. Sebastien Manaville, Dean's Honor List. Lydia Marola, Dean's Honor List. Giles Spence Morrow. Tracy May Moosney. Claudio Palomares Salas. Mark Paradis. Megan Murtaugh-Paslowski, Dean's Honor List. Na Agnelli Perby. Matthias Daniel Plotkin. Melanie Poupard. Christine Proux. Elizabeth Punnett. Kaywana Hansella the Rayburn. William Recenti. Ana Teresa Celes Gonzalez. Paul Sutton. Jade Tetu C. Cabana. Blythe Sarah Warnes. Franz Niranjan Wesley. Julia Helen Wright. For the degree of Master of Social Work, Marielle Albert. Mandy Altman. Rita Angelo. Sasha Nicole Bailey, the Alumni Prize for the Outstanding Master of Social Work Independent Study Project. Okay, Stephanie Ann Boland. Monica Bourgeois. Samira Lucienne Burton. Christina Eleni Cabral. Madeline Faye Christ. Itamar Danziger. Mireille de la Sablonnière Griffin, the Alumni Prize for the Outstanding MSW Independent Study Project. Sarah Lynn Downey. Navinta Dua. Ashanta Farrington. Kara Lynn Fletcher. Adina Robin Gordon. Karima Kinlock. Angela Stephanie Clar. Talia Renee Kleinplatz. Anna Katarzyna Katlowski. Chantal Leblanc. Wu Jin Edward Lee, Alumni Prize for Outstanding MSW Thesis, Dean's Honor List.
Maria Sabrina Mangione. Emily Laura McMullen. Kevin Modelmeyer. Nabil Nattery. Ganit Novak. Stephanie Sophie Paquette. Irina Pavlova. Andre Rivard. Leah Schwalb. Lisa Marie Salito. Catherine Cisak. Alexandra Eden Tardif. Theodora Trakadis. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology, Lori Margaret Abrams. Vanessa Olivia Kate Zinklusen. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Canadian Studies, Patrick Aurel Joseph Boilly, Joint Honors in Canadian Studies and Political Science. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in East Asian Studies, Pei Shan Chen. Vanessa Mayer. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Economics, Valérie Dominique Boileau-Falardeau. Yana Eventov. Marie-Pierre Ménard. Tristan Prasad Millet. Lawrence Milan Monoson. Crispin Mouton. Nikolai Rusin, First Class Joint Honors in Economics, First Class Joint Honors in Political Science, Dean's Honor List. Inji Ashraf Sadek, with distinction. Sarah Sheikh. Sandrina Dumouchel Velosa. Catherine Brenna Baggs, Dean's Honor List. Grant Curtis Bellamy, Honors English. Laura Christina Boyle. Caitlin Claire Dupuis-Grenet de Roussil, with distinction. Sarah Farah, with distinction. Sharon Fong. Taylor Richardson Fredericks. Catherine Alexandra Mason, great distinction. Bronwyn Rice. Kate Elizabeth Riddell. Ellie Short. Theodore Daniel Smith. Amy Jana Weinstein. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Environment, Marie-Joëlle Robichaud, great distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Geography, Juliana Willow Rubens-Breen, great distinction. Megan Stanley. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Hispanic Studies, Vicky Allard, first class honors. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in History, Vanaka Chem Keith, with distinction. Sophie Cloisetière. Tasmin Patricia Carmali. Gregory Harper Kelly, great distinction. Melissa May Rose McGuire. Tara Merigen, Honors History. Ryan Turkinitz. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Humanistic Studies, Rebecca Jurozel. Haley Josepha Gold. David Anthony Harris. April Ann Martin, distinction. Sean McCade. Jonathan Charles Schwartz. Cassia Skurecki. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Industrial Relations, Christina Marie Louise Joheim. Ken Moran. Colleen Marie Oldman, great distinction. Ashwin Venkatagadu. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in International Development Studies, Karina Liz Bluer, Honors International Development Studies. Kimberly Brenda Desormeaux, with great distinction. Mohammed Latif Faizi, with distinction. Jasmine Indra Carolyn Frolic, distinction. Forrest Cleveland Higgins, first class joint honors in International Development Studies and in Sociology. Judith Lynn Lawrence, Honors International Development Studies. Elsie Hustad Lewison, First Class Honors in International Development Studies and Dean's Honor List. Esther Margaret Lection, First Class Honors in International Development Studies. Matthew Mariano Lyle, First Class Honors, International Development Studies. Isabel Prendergast Marciniak. Mallory Lauren McKay. Avra Moraine. Chelsea Nicole Plant. Jenna M. Simpson, Distinction. Amanda Gail Tyler, Honors International Development Studies. Leah Olwen Wright. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Italian Language and Literature, Raphael Del Bono. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Langue et Littérature Française, Véronique Sanson, First Class Honors in Langue et Littérature Française and Dean's Honor List. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy, Clément Naïm Jambard. Ethne Sheeran. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Political Science, Kale Brillinger. Brody Eckhart. James Robert Farrow. Benjamin Michael Hardy. Natalie Christine Hedden. Adil Katrak. Charles Larrivé. Samuel Benjamin Levitt, Distinction. Lila Matar, First Class Joint Honors in Philosophy and Political Science. Andre Palexik. Lauren Rebecca Resnick. David Rimmick, Great Distinction. Farzan Sabet. Lindsay Sanders, Distinction. Josh Michael Spatz, Distinction. Mario Virillo. Alexander Grant Quist. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Psychology, Rachel Banton, Great Distinction. Catherine Duguay.
Stephanie Michelle Elner Distinction. Persia Etemadi, Honors in Psychology. Tamsin Farr, Distinction. Jory Gruber, Great Distinction. Alexis Hykalis, Great Distinction. Annika Hillebrand, First Class Honors in Psychology, Dean's Honor List. Tara Victoria Holder. Ariana Khan, with distinction. Jason Lee. Andrea Merlano. Tyler Keith Joseph Meyer, First Class Honors Psychology. Daniel Jacob Morgenroth. Allison Jean Mackay, Great Distinction. Holly Barbara Richardson. Monica Spack. Krista Emily Taylor. Andrea Marie Zakim. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Sociology, Emma Jacqueline Baril. Ines Noor Beatrix. Noemi Leah Brodke. Karina DiCarlo, with distinction. Alexa Ann Mazzarello. Mishael Khadija Najam. Adam Scott Plotkin, First Class Honors Sociology, Dean's Honor List. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Women's Studies, Natasha Marion Chettiar. Danielle Lee, Honors Women's Studies. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in World Religions, Shoshana Violette Aronowitz, Great Distinction. David Warren Ewing. Elizabeth Ferraro. Amanda Unruh. For the degree of Bachelor of Social Work, Miguel Noel Nascentes Bernier. Sarah Jemuchel Fournier, with distinction. Gina Glidden, Great Distinction. Pamela Sarah Grishkan. Megan Ray Irving, Distinction.
Ian George Edward Williams, great distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Science, Mona Ziba Gadirian, distinction. Heather Rachel Bayer, great distinction. Elisa Javier Finkel. That might be Javier. Annie Evelyn Merritt, First Class Honors in Environment. Daniel Moses. Anna Roth Trowbridge, Honors English and the Clark Lewis Memorial Prize. Nevada Sabol, distinction. For the Faculty of Education, for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, Dadong Charles Ho. Danielle Catherine Ostfield. Krista Corinne Ritchie. Ran Tao. For the degree of Master of Arts, Tayeb Altayeb. Rosanna Kaplan. Tammy Marie Groff. David Hill. My own students make paper airplanes. Olivia Liv Hua. Maylene Joa Rickard. Catherine Mary McEntee. Selena Haley Mackey. Catherine Mittich. Donald Douglas Nickel. Barbara Rolnick. Jonathan Stein. Pan Wang. For the degree of Master of Education, Lori R. Cohen. Amanda Laura Yanelli. Laura Lee Alexis Officer. Jamie Elizabeth Jean Rival. Dov Whitman. For the degree of Master of Science, Evelyn Boulay. Richard Godin. Patrick Michael McGee. Stephanie Rossi. T. Tyler J. Stidwell, Dean's Honor List. For the Graduate Certificate in Educational Leadership Level 1, Lisa Bayless. For the Graduate Certificate in Teaching English as a Second Language, Carlos Darlan Swampo. For the Diploma in Human Relations and Family Life Education, Madeline Georgieva Galabova. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Kindergarten and Elementary Education, Véronique Valeda Bélanger. Heather Kathleen Bickle. Merrill Campbell Cost, Dean's Honor List. Jennifer Masella. Harley Morenstein. Marina Rybakova. Jessica Trepanier. Susanna Virag. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Secondary English, Stacy Mello Serpa. Kekashan Sarah Mian, Dean's Honor List. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Secondary Mathematics, Adam Cox Twardowski. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Secondary Social Sciences, Stacy Ann Bloomer. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Teaching English as a Second Language, Elementary and Secondary, Catherine Goulet-Alain. Christiane Hendershot. Stavroula Semelis. Charlene Erlis. Job Masti. Diana Rose Salt. Jane Snowboy Gilpin. Amanda Lori Enns. For the degree of Doctor of Music, Caitlin Clark. Chloe Dominguez. For the degree of Master of Arts, Maria Alexandra Francou de Rocher. Keith Harrison Wace. For the degree of Master of Music, Robin Shemtov. Sin Emily Ding. Ryan James Frizzell. Mark Gibbons. Anne S.L. Guillemette. Armina Annie Kasabian. Jan Kreitzer. Margaret Lauer. Jacqueline Leung. Guillaume Martineau. Victoria Louise McNeil. Lindsay Jean Roberts. Fernando Saint Martin de Maria y Campos. Sebastian Lewis Chow, Outstanding Achievement in Violin. Adrian Alexander Kostick. Sabrina Gavita, with distinction. Santiago Ernesto Gomez Chartier. Robert Charles Johnson. Alexandra Yardena Keston. Jocelyn Olivia McDowell. August Murphy King. Isabelle Nicolas, with distinction. Jakob Eric Palaswirta, honors in performance voice, with distinction. Alexandra Panitoyou, outstanding achievement in saxophone. Junkyu Park. Adam Hart Rose, outstanding achievement saxophone. Vicky Shin. For the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, Nathan Robert Bishop Lowen. For the degree of Master of Arts, Hayden Lance Bernstein. Pierre-André Duchemin. Philip James Harwood, Dean's Honor List. Jennifer Ashley Otto, Dean's Honor List. For the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, Carolyn Jean Burney. Reem Deeb. Pablo Englebien. Sunho Jung. Roxanne Elizabeth Kielczyka. Andrew Douglas King. René Landry. Yves Levesque. James John Warren Luce. Megan Thibault Murphy. Gregory Prokopsky. Natalie Ora Rosen. Nicholas Twikan. Esther Rosemary Osborne. Lin Chao Zhang. For the degree of Master of Science, Tayeb Aisiu. Mary Carmen Bautista. Harianto Dharmawan. Kathleen Aline Mayo Graham. Stephanie Anna Kulinek. Trudy Ann McCormack. Brian Muncaster. Elia Nahas. Arash Nurian. Lynn Pogson. Mireille Elisa Schnitzer, Dean's Honor List. Loïc Séguin Charbonneau. Lei Shi. David Leroy Small, Dean's Honor List. Svetla Vasileva. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Anatomy and Cell Biology, Matthew Aaron Erenyi. Farah Jetta. Lyle McAdam Jones. Natasha Miriam Lugassi. Christopher Stephen McCarthy, great distinction. Corey James Marvin McCormick. Yanshu Pu. Amanda Nicole Wong. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Biochemistry, Jan Rune Onan, great distinction. Arsalan Rasuli. Sakina Nazim Rashida Sashak. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Biology, Gabrielle Duville. Diana Ix, with great distinction. Daniela Joseph Pile, distinction. Brianne Melissa Miller. Jessica Ann Murray, great distinction. Christine Sykes, distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Chemistry, Zora Sabzalyan. Laurent Pierre Scheffer. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Computer Science, Keith Alexander Dahlman. Abby Yvonne Desrosiers Distinction. David Marple. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Environment, Sarah Elizabeth Harding. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Microbiology and Immunology, Michael Angel. Victor Lawrence Lee. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Neuroscience, David Bruno Borkenhagen. Aaron L. Dobbelstein, with distinction. Dana Lee Obradovich, distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Physics, Travis Leskovich. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Physiology, Victoria Udon-Lavenskas, distinction. Konstantina Totosegas. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Physiology and Mathematics, Nevin Neil Campbell McVicker, great distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Psychology, Jamie Kassoff, First Class Honors, Dean's Honor List. Inting Ho. Morvarid Hashiargar, with distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Software Engineering, Yael Perez.
Would the graduation class please rise? In my capacity as Chancellor of McGill University, I declare and confirm that each of you is now entitled to the distinction of the degree, diploma, or certificate that has been conferred upon you with all the honors, rights, privileges, and responsibility that are pertinent thereto. Congratulations. Will those who are not already standing please rise? And I ask Secretary General Mr. Stephen Stropel to pronounce the benediction.
Go now in peace to share the gift of knowledge that has been entrusted to you. May this university and all its graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of truth for the benefit of all. We come from and return to many lands. In humility and hope, may we continue in friendship and grow in solidarity and wisdom. May you be blessed all your days.
Thank you. Thank you.